Well, let's take a moment and just rehearse in our hearts and our minds the greatness of God, okay? The greatness of God. Pastor Mark just mentioned greatness, his love for me, for you, the love of God, the greatness of God, how big God is, you know, great God. Mighty God. Our problem as human beings is we reduce God. We make him small. We do. He sometimes gets so small. Our God is so small. You know, it's like compressed spring. You know, and like he just, your mind does that. Your mind starts to put on God who you are. We put on, this is me. I put it on God, who I am, you know, and it's like praise is when we just, you know, reflect in our hearts and minds. In a way, it's almost, it makes you speechless that I can actually be heard by God. You know, isn't that amazing? I'm actually loved by God. Wow. And we are actually cared for by God. Every footstep. You know, it's a tragedy that the human heart would reduce God to something so small. But it's what we do. Just left to ourselves, we think of God, you know, in this way. But when we are under the influence of the Spirit draws us to the doctrine, and the doctrine enlightens the mind. The mind is renewed, and we end up in awe at God. Huh? Really, we're like before God. Isn't that beautiful? And we become worshipers of God. It's amazing. All right, so can God heal me? Yes, do you believe it? No. Okay, I don't believe that. Why? Because God is more like me, you know? But God, he does heal. Does God carry you? Is he sovereign? Is he almighty? Is he powerful? Does he raise the dead? Does he heal the blind, the leper? Does he care? Does he go to the woman at the well? Does he care? Does he visit Paul and Saul? And does this change his life? Yeah. He is God. I love to hear about the work of God. Convention is coming, the end of June. We'll be gathering together in these coming weeks. People are coming. And I've got my ear. I want to hear, what is God doing? I want to hear, what is God doing in Nepal? God doing in India? What is God doing? Isn't that good? All right, so who is God? Turn to your neighbor, tell them five things about God that blow your mind. Go ahead. Five things about God that are amazing. Okay, What are a few things? No, who is God? Who is God? The faithful one. Counselor. Wonderful. How about this one? Is God right now under my finger here? Is he under my foot over there? Is he in the deepest sea? Is he? Is he everywhere? Is he in your belly? Is he in the stars? Is God everywhere? Almighty God, everywhere present. How about, does he know everything? Everything from the end to the beginning? Turn to your neighbor and say, how many hairs are on the top of your head? How many hairs? Do you know how many hairs? Some of you are saying, three. Yeah, okay. Hey, here's another one. God is all powerful and is holding this world together by the word of his power. And these stars and moons, these galaxies, are declaring his glory. And he's saying all the time to the human race, hello, hello, I am here. Have you noticed how I have put things together? Have you noticed how wise I am? Do you have any idea who I am? How holy I am? How wise? How powerful? Do you know who I am as God? In that I would love you, I would visit you, I would humble myself, I would come down, I would be on the cross, I would shed my blood so you could be with me forever. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know your name is in the book? I mean, we have so much to worship God over when we get a clear view of some sense in faith. Like we said Revelation this morning, it's just beautiful, isn't it? It really is. Wow. I love it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Father, visit our service tonight with your authority. Bless our guest speaker, Pastor Sam Miles, and his family. Pour your blessing on his congregation in Kansas City. Pour the vision, the mission, the blessing everywhere through that church. We are sisters and brothers. We are loving each other. Our God is so big. He is so great. He has put love in our hearts. We love one another deeply and personally. Give us wisdom and guidance. Prayer revival in our assembly, in our personal lives. Teach us about prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been really great hanging with you guys this weekend. I really appreciate it. I want to trust the Lord to do something amazing tonight, something impossible tonight, that we would receive his word, not in form, but in truth, right? That we would receive the word of God, that it would take root in our heart, and that it would bear fruit, and it would come out of our lives. Do we want to trust the Lord for that tonight? Father, help us. We pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we talked about asking amiss. When we pray wrong because we don't believe right. And we pray wrong because we want wrong. We ask to fulfill the lusts of our flesh. And so James says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. And so we talked about that this morning, and we saw a picture of that in the life of Israel. God gave them a promise. They were to go and take the land. And there was a trial there. The giants were there. You guys remember they got fee-fi-fo-phobia. They wet their tunics and they came up with excuses for why God's word couldn't be made reality in their life. And they came up with their own plan. And then whenever they're praying because they got busted down. And they're not crying out in true repentance. They're not praying over an offended God. They're praying because they're not getting their way. And they're like, okay, we're going to go fight. God says, no, I'm not with you in that. You stand down. And you know the rest of the story. They were defeated. What's happening there? The picture there is a life that's a mess because the center of the will is self. It's not the Savior. And so with many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. We don't need our prayer life overthrown. Amen? We need to walk in victory, and the only way that's going to happen is if we trust and obey. I want to call on God according to his word, according to his promises. I get to choose faith or fear. I either move forward in faith or I go a way that's right in my own eyes, and the end of that way is death. Well, this morning I want to give you another example, or this after, it's evening. Okay, I got it straight now. This evening I want to give you another example, again from the nation, the life of Israel. Idolatry in your heart hinders your prayer. And just like we said this morning, whenever you have idolatry in your heart, you are framing God as your enemy. You say, Pastor, that's really harsh. Maybe I was tracking with you this morning whenever you said, if if I'm rejecting God's word, if I'm not listening to what God has promised, what God has said, that is me framing God as my enemy. But idolatry, that's just me loving something else besides God. I mean, how many husbands would be okay with your wife having your neighbor as her best buddy? It's not going to work, is it? Idolatry has you working to frame God as your enemy. God said, when he gave the law in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, he says, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Do you see how God views it? Our idolatry, when we have loves ahead of our Savior, when we have loves ahead of our Lord God, God says, you are hating me by having another lover, by having another love. You're framing me as enemy. Is everybody with me? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? This is so critical that we get this. God says to reject him for another, to place another love ahead of him, to have other gods, other loves before him is to hate him. If my wife decides she wants to spend more time with my neighbor than she wants to spend with me, that's probably going to generate some animosity, isn't it? I'm going to have any dudes here feeling what I'm saying? You get the description, right? That's a hard time. My neighbor, he's not that attractive. What's she seeing him? Why she wanted to spend time with him? I don't play that. That's not going to work. I'm going to have a natural jealousy over my bride. Guess what? God loves you. You are his bride. And he doesn't want you to have other loves. He doesn't want you dating somebody else on the side. Hello, somebody. He wants to be your one true love. And to have other loves before your love of Christ is really, in effect, we are saying God's viewing it as hate, right? You see that? You're framing God as your enemy. And idolatry now hinders our intimacy with God. And guess what? It hinders prayer with God. If I think that no complaints. I love my wife, Cheryl. Just disclaimer, everything's going great. Really content, really happy. I'm just painting a picture for you. If I think that my wife's got another love in her heart and her life before me, that's going to kind of hinder our communication, isn't it? It's going to put a cramp on our communication, on our relationship. Idolatry hinders our prayer before the Lord. Turn your Bibles, look at Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. We'll pick it up in verse 1. The elders of Israel come and set before him, and the word of the Lord came to him. And now watch this, verse 3, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it all by any, right? Should I be inquired of it all by them? Should I listen to anything that they have to say? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Do you see what God is saying there? You've got other loves ahead of me. Why should I even answer you when you cry out to me? You're praying, but I'm not listening. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God doesn't hear. He says, talk to the hand. You've got other lovers in your heart. Why would I listen to anything that you have to say? See, God is offended for his people. He's offended for his bride. And then he says, whenever you do, right, get a word from me, from the prophet, I'm actually going to speak to you according to the multitude of your idols. In other words, some fools do get answered according to their folly. Remember Proverbs chapter 26? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him, and then just turns right around and answer a fool according to his folly. Why? He needs to learn something, right? Answer a fool according to his folly and let him see what his foolishness is going to get him. And this is what God's saying. I'm going to answer you according to your folly. Verse 5. that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Repent, come back to me. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart. What is it? It's that generation that hates him, that says, God, you're not first. I have other gods before you. And he comes to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me. Listen to what God says. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people. You want a lie? You don't want my truth? You want your cake and eat it, right? You don't want to submit to my word. You don't want to place me first in your heart and in your life. You want what you want on your terms, you'll get it, but you'll regret it. I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Why? That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Do you see God's heart for his people? I want you first. I want you completely. I want you all to myself. And I want it to be reciprocal. If you're not going to receive my word, if you're not going to walk in faith, and you're going to set up idols in your heart, you are now framing me as your enemy. I am going to let you receive. I'm going to let you reap what you sow. And it's to the third or fourth generation of them that hate me. To reject God is to hate him. And so here's God giving people who have other loves in their heart before him what they want to their own discipline. Okay, you ask, you'll get what you want. It'll be according to the multitude of your idols. You will reap what you have sown. Don't be so foolish, brother, sister. Don't be so foolish to think that there's no way I could ever raise up an idol in my heart. These things are tricky. These things are sneaky. It can happen in the simplest and littlest of ways. You know, I would be happy if what? Right? I would be content if what? I would have joy and peace if what? Man, if I could finally move into that neighborhood, everything would be set. In other words, if God, the Word of God, my relationship with God isn't the answer that fits in those blanks, right? I learn contentment in Christ, not in the bling I can amass, not in the houses and lands that I can accrue. My satisfaction can only be realized in the person and in the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. So I don't want to set up idols in my heart. I don't want to say, Lord, I know that you love me, and you know that I love you, but I love this other thing a little bit more, and so could you help me step out on you? Don't war with God. And so how do we land that plane on this stage tonight? Well, let me frame the statement, the beginning statement, another way. Covetousness is idolatry. Amen? Covetousness is idolatry. And if we are covetous, it hinders our prayer. And so here is the problem biblically. And so let's take some instruction and some warning. We've seen an example, God's complaint against his people in the Old Testament. Let's look at what it looks like in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you know the verse. We're going to look at verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So there's the instruction. Now here's the warning. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not evil, but your coveting of it, your love of it ahead of God, right, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Lord Jesus, thank you for your salvation, but I don't really want to walk with you. I want cash. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the finished work of Christ at Calvary, but what I really need is a raise. What I really need is a better job. What I really need is that new Dodge Charger, whatever the latest model is. You know, whatever's coming out of Detroit now. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So the issue isn't having money, it's loving money. Why? Because the love of money violates the first commandment. You've now got a love of another God before the Lord. This is why our Bible instructs us to mortify our members, right? To put to death the will of the flesh upon the earth. And what are these members? Well, one of them, okay, so it's cup. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, Colossians 3:5, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You say, I wouldn't bow down to Dagon, some image made, some likeness under the sea. I would never bow down to Dagon, but we've got brothers and sisters who will in services say hallelujah and praise the Lord, but their heart is really a lover of money. Their life is given to the investment of wood, hay, and stubble, building a life for themselves in the kingdom of this world. Ephesians 5, verse 5 says, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's the lost who refuse God and are idolaters. It's the lost who refuse God and are lovers of money. That isn't you, baby. That isn't who God made you to be. You're a child of the King. You don't have to settle for some half-rate, hack substitute God. You've got the real deal, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And oh, by the way, he's rich. Right? I mean, have you heard about his house? In my father's house, it's a big, big house. It's got a real big yard. We'll play some football. Okay, so I won't sing it to you. Well, sometimes I want stuff that God hasn't given me. I mean, why would that hinder my prayers? You know, God knows that I have taste standards that need to be met. The Joneses have to be kept up with, and God surely understands that. So I need a bigger flat screen, bigger house, sweet ride. I got to get my threads up to speed. Got to keep it 100, bro. Okay, covetousness, right? Why wouldn't God understand that? He knows how I got to roll, and people don't see the problem with wanting what other people have. What's the problem with wishing I had my neighbor's wife? Man, if you're lusting after anything that God hasn't given you, brother, sister, you're out of bounds. And you're framing God now as your enemy. What you said, what you promised is not enough for me. And it hinders our prayer. Covetousness. We need to wake up because covetousness is a sin that shuts up heaven for the believer. One more passage. Can we get one more passage before we close? Look at Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at what this looks like. Malachi chapter 3. God gave us this great little exercise to help us keep our hearts in check. Every time I look at the way God sets up the dynamic of my relationship with him, I just have to take my hat off and say, God, you're a genius. How many know God's a genius? Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Again, God's complaint. It's always the same. You've not followed faith. You're rejecting my word. You're framing me as an enemy. Look at, here it is again, verse 7. Your fathers are gone astray from mine ordinances, rejecting my word. You've not kept them. So what does he say? We need to repent. God's worth being right with. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Okay, you want money, you don't want me. You get your money, and look at what that really gets you. Look at what he says. Well, you know, God's people are saying, well, if I tithe, then I can't afford to put a pool in this year. And God understands, I got to keep my tan. Right? And so the problem was, is they got the pool, but there was no rain to fill it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you got what you want, but it's useless, and it's empty. Literally, the heavens literally and provisionally were shut up to God's people. So get this down. covetousness and its refusal to honor God first puts God's people under a curse. They got the pool, but there was no water to fill it with. So what do you think it'll do to you when we have loves, other loves ahead of God? John R. Rice said, stealing, God-robbing, covetousness is the same wicked sin in the New Testament times as it was in the Old Testament times. And those who sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but do not give him a dime's worth out of a dollar, will not get very far in their praying. No amens, Pastor.
Come on, let's do it.
I may need to just get out of town tonight. Yeah, okay. People will say to statements like that, well, if God has everything, I mean, if God is a big, big God, if he's so rich, if he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, what does he care about the first dime out of my dollar? Well, it's because he's a genius, right? Yeah, he does own everything. The beast of the forest is his, the cattle upon a thousand hills. If he were hungry, he wouldn't tell us. The world is his and the fullness thereof, it's his, right? Proverbs chapter 50. Yeah, he is that rich. Listen, God doesn't care about your money. He cares about you. You know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I have a little treasure keeper. It's right here. It's not super big because, you know, don't have a ton to keep track of. And so here it is. And so as treasure is coming to me, if I keep my treasure to myself, where is my heart? You see that? And God is a genius. He has designed it so that every time he has entrusted me with resources as a steward, the first goes right back to him. Why? Oh God, you're my first love. Right? You're my first investment. God, you take the priority and the place in my heart and my life. There is no other gods before you. Every time that offering plate goes around, it's worship. No amens. This is a rough message. God doesn't care about your money. He cares about your heart. He wants your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't want my heart here on my own self, on my own flesh, on my own, you know what I want to say, on myself. I want my heart on him. Right? He is first. God wants your trust. He wants your surrender. He wants your willingness to give him anything, even yourself. And never forget, when God has you, you have him. And here's God's promise of blessing. Look at verse 10, Malachi chapter 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Oh, the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore would be a delightsome land. All the nations shall be blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, that the provision would come out from this place in Baltimore and the nations would be blessed because God is first in this place. He alone is God. Thus, right, saith the Lord of hosts. This is why we need to pray together. This is why we need to call on the Lord together, because we need God's hand of blessing on our ministry. But if we've got other loves before the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've got other loves before our Father in heaven, if our covetousness is grieving the indwelling Holy Ghost, covetousness is a prayer that shuts up heaven. And then what do we get in life? Well, we're getting according to the multitude of our idols. God's attitude is, why should I answer you? Why should I be inquired at all of you when I'm not first in your heart? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know I'm talking to the good kids tonight, and I get all of that. Brother, sister, beware. Idols are sneaky. Covetousness is sneaky. And the way it always works is, I just went through a trial. I just went through a hard time. I'm going to excuse some sin in my life because I want it. I've been frustrated. I feel like I deserve it. That break that you will be tempted to give yourself, it's a trap. It's designed to steal your first love. Remember how we started? Satan will put it in your heart to betray Jesus. I think we talked about that at the graduation on Saturday. Satan will try and put it in your heart to betray the Lord Jesus. Don't be Judas. Be John. Keep your head on the breast, right? Keep your hand on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be Mary. Sit at Jesus' feet. Hear his voice. Make sure we're keeping God our first love. And in this very practical way, the first out of everything that God entrusts to us, we worship him and we entrust it right back to him. Amen? Amen? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for just how you have set it up so that we have to acknowledge you in all of our ways. If we're wise, we're going to do this, even in the area of our finances. Lord, to explain away why we would have to keep for ourselves and we would have to connive for ourselves and we'd have to, through cunning, try to find ways to through covetousness, hoard the work, the time, the investment. I want all the time for myself. I want all the money for myself. And then, Lord, we so easily lie to ourselves and say that you're our first love, but really it's self. And so, Lord, open our eyes, open our understanding. You're worth being right with. And it is true, Lord, to recognize that when you have our heart, Lord, it's just so beautiful to know that we have yours. And when you have us, we have you. And Lord, we're rich. We're so blessed. And so, Father, again, I pray your blessing on my brothers and sisters in this place. Lord, keep them from evil. Make them wise. Help my brothers and sisters to always recognize that the enemy is always trying to give them a way to sell out, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll show them the kingdoms of this world if we'll just fall down and worship another idol. Deliver us from evil, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Pastor Coop, did you have something? No, you're good. Pastor Mark, okay, yeah. I love that message. Isn't it good? That was so good. I mean, Pastor, could you come up for a second? I just want to ask you a question. If, you know, how many of you have seen, you know, you've seen covetousness come into your heart, okay? Okay, that's normal, okay? That should be normal. I mean, that happens to us. You know, something comes in. We love it too much, you know. Mm-hmm. The money too much or what I'm looking for. He defined it very well, but I just want to just think about it. When that happens, practically, like, what do we do with that?
Yeah, so like in Malachi chapter 3, he says, repent and return to me. Right? And so when we recognize that it's happening, the beautiful thing about repentance is just agreement with God. Lord, you see this first love that's come into my life. And that's wrong. And so I am breaking up with this other lover, and I'm coming back to you. Right? I'm breaking up with this thing that was getting between you and I in this right relationship. And, you know, just like God will deal with us according to the multitude of the idols in our heart, he'll also deal with us according to the sincerity of our heart. And to just be able to agree with God over sin, it's so powerful. That is sin. Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to your word. And, you know, I love this in the word. His mercies are new. How often? Man, it's a new day. Praise the Lord. I mean, that is the beauty of Calvary. There is grace. There is forgiveness. You know, anytime there's something, even in terms of besetting sins, man, I want to take that to Calvary. It's the blood of Christ that washes my sin away. All I was ever going to do in my flesh was look at life wrong and follow wrong and do wrong. And so I, you know, a man or a woman under grace isn't going to freak out and say all hope is lost because I allowed some idolatry or some covetousness in my heart. What we want is the Lord to show it to us so that we can eschew it now. I want to mortify. Remember what Colossians 3 said. I want to mortify. I want to put that to death. God, that's sin. And so help me, God, by your grace and the promise of your word, for me to live isn't that idol, that thing. I'm going to die to the Ford Challenger or the Dodge Challenger. I don't know my cars very well. I'm going to die to the Dodge Challenger because, you know, I'd look pretty good in it, right? I mean, like, you know. Who wouldn't want that? I don't need that. I need God to use me in the lives of people. I need fellowship. I need closeness with the Lord. I don't need some stupid idol, some half-rate, second-rate God substituting in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so that's the prescription is in Malachi chapter 3. Repent, return to me, and watch me bless you. And he does. I can't tell you how many times I had some little idol. And, it's horrible. God loves me and always receives me, and there's forgiveness at Calvary. Yeah, so, yeah. Praise the Lord.
That's good, awesome. So, when that thing kind of, how about, you know, when something kind of gets, you mentioned, remember Ananias and Sapphira, Peter said, Satan has put it in your heart. Remember that? Acts chapter 5. Satan has put it in your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit, right? To lie against God. Remember that verse? Mm-hmm. Satan has a... could Satan put in my heart some fascination with another woman other than my wife? It's a question. Why aren't you all answering me? Okay, wait a minute. Could Satan put it in my heart to steal money? Yeah, could Satan put it in my heart to lie to my brother? Yeah, I may be deceived. I'm a Christian, but Satan has put it in my heart something, and I'm lying. I'm dishonest. So what we heard tonight is that this affects my prayer life. So I go along my way, and there's something in my life God is saying, and in a way, it seems like I should know that I am being deceitful, or I'm lying to God. You know what I mean? It must be. It seems to me that this would be, the Lord would be faithful to show it to me, but I don't want to hear it. So I keep on going in my way. And there are bad habits, I think, that we can have, and we just consider that to be normal. Remember that message we called the new normal? There's a new normal for us. It's not my old life. It's my new nature. Okay. You know, this is a good wrap. Would you like to do the wrap tonight, Pastor?
I'm here.
We got
you
here, so, yeah. You know, you can't leave.
Okay.
I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way that's the way we roll around here. Once we catch you, we got you. Okay. This other point, I'm like preaching your message. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
No, it's like I'm enjoying it. But I want to finish with this one. Have you ever gone out in a field, you know, on a beautiful spring day, and there's a stone, and you roll over the stone, and what's in the under the stone? Worms. Go ahead. Grubs. Sounds like lunch. Grubs. Potato bugs. Stink bugs. Maybe if I get lucky, you know. Okay. What happens to all those bugs and everything? They leave because the light. When I have covetousness in my heart, and I roll a stone over, and the light is there, you know, God is faithful by his blood to wash me If we walk in the light one with another, listen to that one.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be with you and you need to be with me. Yeah, I mean, we are in the light and we're walking in the light. Do you want to say something about
that?
No,
I'm agreeing with
you. No, I can tell. You're all fired up.
No, I'm
with
you.
Go for it.
Yeah, I really. I was cheering you on, man. Yeah.
No, I mean, he said it. What do I do when I see the garbage come and the stuff surfaces? I just bring it into the light.
Yeah.
God is very good to take care of me. I am no great person, but I'm somebody that will roll a stone over and say, hello, yeah. God is here. I'm going to the church. God is in the church. I'm going to be under the word. God is in the word. God will show me. God will help me. And the sad thing is, I can be a Christian deceived, sitting in the church, refusing to acknowledge the fact that I've got issues that are going on in my heart. I hate somebody. I'm very judgmental with people. I have no patience. I'm angry about how God has treated me. I'm ready to leave. I'm getting ready to get out of here because I am done. Well, you know, God's not done with you. And there's an easy way. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come on. Let's grow up. Roll the stone over. Bring on the light. And all this stuff will be gone. God will clean us up, restore our soul, help us, and then we will have power in prayer. Isn't that good? Let's have him finish with that. Then we will have power in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah. Good. We'll do the rest of it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Would you pray with me now as we close? We'll have a song at the end. But I want to give an invitation. Anybody listening tonight that you want Jesus in your heart, maybe he spoke to you in the message on the internet. Jesus spoke to you. You have a need. We aren't anything special here tonight. We are people that know that Jesus Christ is the answer for life. And we want you to know that personally. And we want you to come to Jesus by faith as you are. It's a decision, and you make it in your life. The invitation goes to everyone. Come to me and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Come, trust in me. Believe in me. You will be born again of the Spirit by believing in him. So in your heart, say, Jesus, I need you. You came to save me. I believe in you. I make a decision tonight to trust in you. Save me. Thank you for your salvation. And teach me as I walk with you. I make that decision tonight in your name. Anyone saying the prayer, raise your hand here in the auditorium. There's a booklet for you by the usher to give you, help you in your faith. Talk to your neighbor about it. Keep coming back to church. Keep coming. And live by faith in him. If you can't come here, talk to God. Anyway, regardless, God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. God loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.